It's December the 10th, 2018, from the Lucy Goldman Studio in Los Angeles, California, PJ. Thank you for coming to my website and listening to some of the webcasts. I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that we as human beings have the capacity to stop all external and internal conflict if we will but only discover how to antidotally, if I could use that term, eradicate from our species ill feelings towards one another. If it's for want, power, greed, wantonness, and all those other unseemly attitudes, that's a shame that a human would go about as Hitler did, crossing the border of Poland, beginning or starting World War II, and what he did to Warsaw and to the Jews there, and to look at what the Jews are doing to the Palestinian people in Palestine now is atrocious, ridiculous. When I see white and black Americans in what used to be one of the richest countries in the world fighting each other over red and blue, liberals, the conservatives, the left and the right, a pitiful group of individuals that have only benefited over the years of living in America as a joint community of citizens. There ought not be between us friction that separates to that degree. And you hear in the background the Christmas music playing. I thought that I add a little bit of that as I talk to you, because we can't help to find ourselves running to the shopping malls and going to do those things that make us happy. Nowhere in the Christian faith are we told to act so ludicrous. I bought a necklace yesterday, a lion's eye necklace, and it's beautiful. I went to the African American community in Lamert Park and spent a little of the money that I did not have. Why? Because I believe in supporting black businesses. And which better way to support it than through some of the best jewelry, African jewelry, that you could ever find in this country, right there in Lamert Village, Dignan and 43rd Street, in that area, in Los Angeles. And I wasn't quite surprised to see that gentrification had taken place and that there were white people listening to the drum rolls and going right along with the ethnic indulgence of the community. And it was refreshing to see that. But what I'm talking about is the hypocrisy between human beings that could get along. I think our young people are making a tragic mistake because they're not being truthful about situations. And the reason that they're not being truthful about situations is because in their, and it was quite different from me when I was a young man, because when I was a young man, I know why I felt the compulsion to marry. It was the art of survival. I was telling two young men that earlier. It is the art of survival. You don't survive in this country if you're just a dude growing up and you're not making family and you're not developing community, and nor are you a part of community. And that's what's wrong with the gang-ridden community. If Indeed, those are black men killing other black men in Chicago. It is happening at such a rate that I, too, believe that there's something else behind that. It is almost incomparable to believe that black men, as beautiful as we are, as talented as we are, as our bodies are magnificent, that we would walk around and kill each other, killing our own kind. That is the worst kind of deception of the mind. There has always been tribal warfare against all tribes, but the African American male tribe is at risk of being totally annihilated within the next 20 to 25 years in this country. Either we will all become so overly feminized that there will be a time when our children are born and it would not do to buy any type of sexual clothing for them, for the person will be left at the behest of their own insanity if they deem themselves kitty cats instead of human beings. All they do is speak it into existence. A generation of people that I think have went a little bit fruity on the Fruit Loop trail, because life never happens that way. It's as if someone would tell you that a giant comet is coming right towards this planet to thrust us into obliteration, just to blow us to pieces. One is left to answer this question: what value was life? Was it worth anything? Well, if the earth is blown up, who would record our history, and how would it? We'd have to look to a Sputnik, a satellite that we shot up some 60 or 50 years ago, in order to justify our existence if the planet no longer existed, if the universe no longer existed. Ah, but it is Christmas time, isn't it? We don't want to think about things like that. We want to think about the things that make us happy. Yes, walking in a winter wonderland. Oh, I remember when Christmas time would come when I was a younger man. But those kids, are you kidding? Me and Lucy could not wait to go to the shopping centers, to the malls, Sears and Roebuck, the May Company, Bullock's. Then we drive in on the west side and go shopping. And I recall the first time I found a Birkenstock slipper store on the west side. Nothing in the hood like that. It wouldn't sell. The brothers would say, "Why are you selling these old rubber slippers for all this money?" I have on a pair of Birkenstocks right now as I speak. And you wouldn't know that, but way back in the 70s, when I was first introduced to this European slipper, I learned the quality of life. One of the great attributes that my wonderful wife of 34 years taught me, she taught me how to appreciate good things like good food, Christmas time, good food. Lucy, wow, are you kidding me? There's nothing like her cooking. Just like Dave Brubeck's fingers running across the keyboard. Yes, my friend, walking in a winter wonderland. She could cook. And the people that would come by my house to eat her cooking would eat her, what does she call them? Her Korean barbecue, Korean meatballs. At Christmas time, were just the great. We would take trays of it to the church to share it with the church family. When they placed the food out, both large biscuit trays with these little meatballs were gone in about 10 minutes. People wouldn't take two or three and leave the other ones for the rest. They'd put 10 or 12 on their plate. We had to tell them, "Think of others, will you?" My wife could cook. And people can prove that she cooked by how they ate her food. And I miss that the most during this holiday time. But I couldn't eat it if she was here anyhow. I ate a little bit too much yesterday and it upset my whole system. So, What do? I let some of this food get out of me. And then I eat some very light food and bring my diet. I don't know why. I guess sometimes I just want to go out to breakfast and eat. And I shouldn't, because when I go out and eat that stuff, seems like it's coming back to kill me. A young man asked, back to the subject matter, a young man asked me, he said, why don't you think you live a long time? I says, because, and then he asked me, what is the one thing that you regret? And this one thing that you regret, he asked me this, he said, what is it? I thought, and then I told him, I said, I've never been loved like I felt I should have been. I've never been allowed to love the way I want to love somebody and for them to love me back. No one has ever given me that. Listen to what I'm talking about. Never. I was married. I was never loved back like that. You know, somebody to put their arms around you and I'm telling you, and this might be an indictment against marriage, some of you may think, but I've got to tell you the truth. Never been loved back the way you know you ought to be loved. How do you like to be held? What part of you likes to be held? All of us are different. You know, we go to church and we pray to God, oh Lord, please send me that person. No, why don't you just forget about the sending of the person. Try to find someone on this planet without you bribing, paying, or in any kind of way compensating. Find you someone on the planet. Listen to me. That loves you just the way you are and cannot nor will not stop manifesting that in order to make you feel like if you're a man, Superman, and if you're a woman, Wonder Woman. Because that's what this kind of love would do. Interesting. The music in the background is denotive of what I'm talking about. We know it as a little town of Bethlehem. And we know what supposedly took place there. But that same old story has been told for thousands of years before Christ was born. And so we know that this human history began somewhere. But let's bring it home right now, here to us right now. How do we get alone and what is it? You got to tell people what it is that you want when you meet them. I had a beautiful experience today. I met a man for the first time. I told him, he asked me, what do you regret that you never got? And I said, total transparency from anyone, continuously. Without excuses, without hypocrisy, without feeling betrayed or used or sabotaged or stabbed in the back. God, show me somebody that can be the same every day. That would walk in the strength of who they are. And to know that they are that. Give me that. Give me that kind of outlook. Any other kind of outlook is terrible for me. Because I'd have to compromise myself. Oh, well, I have to. But I love everyone as human beings. So I'm the fall guy. I always end up as the trick in the situation. Because I love people and I love what people do for me. so I'll end up like that. I can work my way out of it because I understand that's a part of being human. But I told him, I said, I've never. And then some people would say, well, John, well, you would never get that in life. Well, then I want life to end for me then. If I can't get that in this life, because the young man asked me, he says, oh, you're going to live a long time because you've already lived a long time. And the discussion went, well, what if I did not want to? Because I have. And he said, why wouldn't you? Have you regretted anything? Yes, never being genuinely loved by someone that could continue in that love. You know, I've had young men that I've known for years. I knew him on the city job. We became friends in the church. We watched both of our children grow up. This one particular man I'm thinking about, we were very close. Never anything close to a sexual relationship, nothing like that. Though I like his body. His body, he's always had a very tight body. But he doesn't talk with me anymore because he disagrees with the way I live. He disagrees with the revelation that I revealed to him about me. And he told me, you are to dump that and find you another woman and go. I said, man, are you crazy? Needless to say, he's still running from the women that he messed up. He's one of those brothers that get with a woman and can't stay with her after he got what he wanted. And then they mess him up, or he either gets bad and end up in jail or divorces and split up everything. I know a lot of young black men like that. Successful men that have married these women and have found themselves splitting up now. Can't even remain with the women because, wow, living with them is too difficult. Conventional marriage, I think it's over in this country because this country is bogus. Everybody sees how the Indians were enslaved and incarcerated, made alcoholics. The blacks during the 70s and 80s, the same way with the drugs flowing in, destroyed the daddies. I have some of the most disturbing times talking with these young men, talking like the father would talk to them, and then at the same time, having a very difficult time loving them, getting through to them, because the kind of love that they go after is flighty and hypocritical. It's not lasting, and it ends in disillusionment. When will I ever be able to find a true friend? You know, in the Bible, I used to teach it when I was pastoring the church. I don't teach anymore, but it says, Jesus is a friend closer than any brother, and greater love than no man than this, than a man lay down his life for a friend. And I believe that I will lay down my life for any of the young men that I've come to know over the years, easily. Without hesitation, without thought. Now, I don't expect the young person to do that. They haven't lived long enough. Me? I'm not that concerned. Because when my decades are over and I have no more, I leave. Sometimes I think of the way I thought when I was a preacher and the way I think now. And my ideas, I was telling another young man this, I can't, because young people don't want you to affirm God, Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh, the way you did. You can't get along with them because the connotation that they attach to that is, anyway, in my community, the connotation that they attach to that is some white Anglo-Saxon God that has us on the plantation taking us through hell and high water. And I can understand the way it looks because of the way some of these so-called ignorant bishops and stupid women act as they get behind the pulpit. See, I haven't changed. I'm still a biblicist. I will never give in to that. You know, T.D. Jakes and all these other people, man, you know what? I've always been an independent thinking person. What does God's word say? He doesn't say that he hated women. He said, I shall not have a woman teach or to usurp authority over the man. Now, in the scale of Judeo-Christian ethics, we were all created in the image of God, equal, male and female created he them. But in some kind of way, God kind of put the man first. And I think that's obvious when you look at the body build of both of the species. I would rather have a man guarding the gates than have a woman. I have a better chance at survival. Now, that's the way I view masculinity. How does this age view masculinity? They have to feminize it. They want to break it down. And I'm not going to come against the gay community. Why? It just so happens that the gays are the ones that pushing this idea. And I hope it is not to dehumanize us so much and so that you cannot tell the difference between a male and a female. Because in that case, if this country ever gets into that, we wouldn't know what the hell to do. And anybody, the Eskimo tribes could leave Alaska, come in from state to state, and sabotage everything that a man has built. That's why at that border, when you see them boys dressed in dark green and with those yellow badges protecting that border with their lives, I expect them to do that. Doesn't mean that I don't care for the El Salvadorian people or the people from Honduras. God bless their little hearts running from tyranny, foolishness. But one would just have to ask the question, what were your leaders doing all that time? What were the rich doing? Man, you will reap what you sow, just like America will. I won't say if she has since. She has. I'm not speaking about my country. 'Tis of the sweet land of liberty. I'm not talking or speaking against it. I'm speaking for her. We know what she is, for we are a part of her, and we've made her what she is. America has allowed her men, most of them, to be feminized. You've done it through the television, through sports, through every avenue. You've been very successful. The Hegelian effort has worked in the American sub and culture above the level. Swept from east to west and north to south, we think Hegelian. I have a grad student friend of mine working on his master's, and he said, I'm getting into Marx, John, and I need to talk with you about how to understand him. I said, you call me, and I'll give you an earload of Karl Marx, of Engels, of those guys, Stalin. Come on. Obama. Come on. Get this. I love a black man. I do. I love Obama. But he didn't do a damn thing for black men in this country. Not talking about him, ladies. I'm just saying he didn't do a damn thing for black men. Every time a black man goes to prison, you know, his life is bescathed. It's gone. When he goes to prison and he... See, I've never been to prison or in jail. Never. And I'm 74 now doing this, and I've never been in prison or in jail. But did you know, a friend of mine let me and another friend of mine read one of his papers that he submitted to his professor. And as the young man was reading my friend's graduate paper because he said, John, I'll need you to help me write. And as he was reading it, I said, oh, no, you don't need my help. He's a brilliant writer. His brilliant ways of his prose, and my mind was going there. And then when the young man read what the professor wrote, the professor said the same thing that I did, because that's what I was, a college professor. I don't miss reading all those essays. I got enough of mine here. I need to reread. But I don't think I'm going to live more than 2 or 3 years, because I can't live without that transparent love. I can't. I don't want to be here if... I can't be here and live in hypocrisy. I can't. I can't. I don't know why. And if people can't give it, then I have to get it the best way I can, because I needed to live. I'm going to tell you what kills old people is when their value and worth disseminates, when it disappears. Old people feel like they don't want to be here anymore, when everything that they thought that they believed in dissipates or disappears. Old people, then. I saw my sister go through it. I've seen a number of other elder people go through it. And I'm at that age, and I don't want to die. I want to live. But I got to have more love, because love is what keeps you alive. You have to love the culture. You have to love to be engaged with the music, with the arts, even though embarrassing. Like watching the Aretha Franklin funeral. Embarrassing, but engaged in it. Understanding why the preacher said what he said, and understanding overtly why the younger the person was, they were further removed from what he was saying, because he was speaking to my generation, not to theirs. And so therefore, he loses the first sense of what a preacher is all about. He lost his audience. But I understood exactly what he was saying, and he was absolutely correct for saying it. See, so when there's decades there, and young people don't understand that, because all they can say is, how could he say that? Very easy. He knew the mother. And he was one of the greatest of the archaic old African-American ministers that you will find that is known nationwide. And to be treated so rudely by Black America is a freaking shame. No respect. But who would give a preacher respect, right? I used to tell people when I was ordained as a pastor, I said, please don't look at me as anything better than you. I said, if anything, I am worse than you, and I want what you want. And watch me, because I will try to take it from you. That's what I told him. Young man was looking at some pictures of me, and he said, dang, John. I said, what? He said, you was handsome all through your years. Man, for me to live and have a 31-year-old tell me that I was attractive, and I'm still attractive. A woman never told me that. My wife never told me that. But a man told me that. Man, that's what I need, more of that. I need that kind of affirmation. I don't know nobody to say to me, well, how much are you worth, John? I mean, if we got together, how much money are you going to put in my coffers? What can you offer for me, John? You can't offer nothing for me. But a man told me that. I befriended him. I said, we're going to be friends from now on. And I told another man, take his number. Now, if he ever changes and tells me that he thinks I'm an ugly duckling, then he's a hypocrite. And he used me for whatever he, and then I would be the trick being used. See what I mean? And I don't like that. I only look for genuine friendships. That's what I thought I had. Every Sunday when I attended that church and when I pastored it, I thought these people was really loving me. Only to find out something completely different. Half of them weren't doing what they said that they're supposed to do. I used to hate to have to get up and say something about money because of deacons met me at the church that Sunday morning and says, man, they haven't given this and they haven't given that. I hated that. And so I said, well, you speak to them. They said, you the pastor, you talk to them. I told the officers, I said, I told you when I took this job that I don't cough up money and tell them to do it. The message itself would draw the people of God, not the preachers. Wantonness of money. You have to do it on radio because you got to come on every week and you need to let the people that appreciate the program know I ain't got no money to come on and do this and you listening to this basically free. See? Yeah. Well, I think I said enough. Are you looking for that same kind of transparency? Because if you are, all the fights, all the wars, all the stuff between you guys will cease immediately. It's like this kind of transparency says cease and desist. Is that the way you use the term? Stop all hostilities. All hostilities. I'll be back next time.